Once upon a time. Now, I know that you all know this story, but be open to perhaps a slight twist on it. Once upon a time, there were three little pigs. And they were in the barn, and it was muddy and mucky, and they just really weren't very happy about the whole thing. And they got together and started over, and they said, well, you know, these humans, they just throw their slop on us, and we just don't get any benefits. So we think that it would just be, it would just be really good if we could move up in the world a little bit. We'd like to be humans, too, and we'd like houses. We really don't want to sleep in the mud anymore. We want houses. And so the three little pigs just talked it all over, and they went their separate ways. Well, the first little pig, he was one of those people who wants to get everything done right now, no planning, just whatever. So he just grabbed a bunch of straw without very much thought, threw it all together, and moved in. Well, we know what happened, right? Along comes the big bad wolf, and he huffs and he puffs, and there goes the straw house. And the little pig runs, and he runs lickety-split to his brother's house. Now, the brother did a little bit better job. He considered the whole situation. He looked at some architectural drawings. He realized that probably it would be a great idea to use wood instead of straw. And so he constructed what actually was a pretty nice little house for himself. And he moved in, and he was very proud. And he just sort of pretty much gotten settled when his brother came storming in because his house had been blown to smithereens. And his brother assured him, don't worry, because now you're safe, and we'll work things out. You can share with me until we figure out how to build you a better house. So they were kind of happy for a day or two, and then what happens? Along comes that old wolf again. And he huffs and he puffs. He had to work hard this time. He did a lot of deep breathing. You know, I mean, he had to really get in the mood with the whole thing and get it going. So he huffed and he puffed and, well, you know, the story. So the house falls down. And the two little pigs, they ran lickety-split, lickety-split, lickety-split to their older, wiser sister's house. Now, she really took this whole project very, very seriously. She planned. She did a Michael Beckwith visioning process. She really asked, what do I need in a house? What will serve me well? She figured she probably should have enough room for brothers to visit. She just went all the way because she didn't want to just be a little bit better than pigs. She wanted to be spiritual. She wanted to be enlightened and to really get into the whole spirit that she saw these humans in. So she really did a lot of good inner work about it. She took a prosperity class. She practiced tithing. She just got into it, and she built the most amazing house. It was just gorgeous, and it had three spacious bedrooms, so the brothers, when they arrived, she just opened the door and said, okay, guys, I knew you'd be coming sooner or later. And they settled in, and the big bad wolf did come. He came, and he huffed, and he puffed, and he huffed, and he puffed, and he huffed, and he puffed. But it didn't work, because she had built her house on a firm foundation. And that foundation was faith in the process of spiritual laws. And no matter whether we're building a house or a new job or a relationship, whatever it is in our lives that we're looking for, that comes first, is getting that foundation of faith. The presence and power of God always has figured it out better than we have. The presence and power of God always can figure it out better than we can, because it's infinite intelligence. And infinite intelligence knows how to bring together all the right people, all the right situations, at all the right times, so that everything clicks. Click, 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 click. Do you know when you meditate, sometimes you just get that click, and you just know it's right? That's what happens when spirit's at work. When we try to do it ourselves, we fall short. We have a lot of power. Mentally, we have a lot of charge, a lot of power, and we can accomplish a lot. But we can never really get where we want to be, where we're destined to be, until we learn that God, that presence, whatever you want to call it, it doesn't matter what you call it, it comes first and it knows better than you could imagine. It works. And it works in ways that are so mysterious. I've always had a little trouble working with that idea of the between, you've got to be really rigidly decide what you want and outline it and script it and all of that and let go, let God. You know, and some people say, oh, you've got to know, you've got to be specific. And that's what I call the success motivation branch of metaphysics. And that's fine, and I'm not knocking it, okay, not a bit. But there is a higher way, I think, where you go for essence. You don't go for particulars, you go for essence. And the best example that I've had, well, I've had I've had so many examples, I could be here for 24 hours. But at one time, I accepted the ministry in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, which in itself was a spirit-arranged conspiracy. Because the last person in the world, being a good Californian, wanted to do was go to Eau Claire, Wisconsin. It's cold there. It's really cold there. I learned people can die there from the cold. But I had left the church in Auburn, and I don't know, every time I picked up the minister's letter about openings, this little Eau Claire, Wisconsin was going flash, 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 neon. And I'd say, no way. And then I would think about other places, and it would go flash, flash, flash. So finally I called one of my classmates who was the minister, one of the ministers in Minneapolis. And I said, okay, I keep getting this. What about this place? He said, oh, you have to go. You just have to go because it's just, these people are so amazing. What they'd done, they were a small study group. They'd been a study group for 40 years. They had licensed teachers come over from Minneapolis area to do Sunday services. But they decided the time had come and they were going to have a minister and they were going to have a church and they were going to be a full service arrangement. And so they went to the ministers in Minneapolis and said, we want you to pay for us to have a minister. And the ministers just looked at them and said, but we don't do that. Our churches are autonomous. If you don't have enough money to hire a minister, you haven't earned the right to have one. So they went back and they thought about it and they prayed about it some more. And they wrote up an entire proposal of what they wanted. The deal being that they would, the ministers in Minneapolis would all contribute, their five churches, they would all contribute. And on a declining scale for over a three-year period, the first year they would pay the full minister salary, the second year, and it went down. So I don't know, after I talked to him, I called these people and I said, well, I don't know, I just keep getting this feeling. Well, we talked, we had rather interesting conversation and they said, well, we'd like to hire you, but we don't have money to have you come speak and try out and then also pay your moving expenses. So I signed a three-year contract over the phone. My husband at the time had just sold a business. So his theory was we were going to view this adventure as if we had joined the Peace Corps. Because, you know, when you join the Peace Corps, you just take what you get. So we decided that would be a good adventure and we would do it. So we loaded up this U-Haul and we drove to Wisconsin. The first Sunday, I discovered these people held their service in a dungeon next door to a beauty parlor, and it all smelled like permanent wave solution. After the service, we went home and we looked at each other and we both cried. We just said, this is, you know, but it, we signed a three-year contract, so okay, we're going to do it. I wish there were words that I could get through to the commitment these people made to what they wanted and what they were willing to do and how trusting of spirit they were. I mean, they realized the first thing that had to happen was to get out of that place. five of us started sitting for a half hour every week in the silence, simply knowing our time has come. We deserve to be a full service church. We will have a building. Thank you. That was all we did for a half hour once a week. And through a series of flukes, we looked at some buildings that didn't work. One day the treasurer was driving by a property and looked at it, and he and his wife put a deposit on it with a proviso that it could be transferred to the church at the close of escrow if we wanted it. So we got, then another member put up some money, so we got the property. We decided we had to have plans. We found an architect who gave us a really good deal and drew up plans. And then we had to get a construction loan. And if you've ever tried to get a loan for a church, this is a miracle right here in itself. But what happened? They found a bank that would do it, providing there were guarantees from enough people in the church. I mean, it didn't have to be one person. It could be a whole bunch of people. But they did require guarantees. So we explained that one Sunday. By this time, the congregation had grown to about 35. One woman had been there the second Sunday she'd ever come. She came up and guaranteed $75,000. And she said, I don't know that I'll ever really attend this church, but I think this church needs to be in my community. That's how spirit works. I mean, I get chills whenever I think about that, because how could it have happened? But that was faith. That was the foundation. True prosperity is knowing that God is source. The bank is not source. The real estate market is not the source. Even the people in the congregation are not the source. This is all channels. God is source. That presence and that power can work true miracles. Even though I personally don't like the word miracle very much, I prefer process, because it is a process. And yet when it appears, it certainly is miraculous, isn't it? So we built the most incredible buildings. It was 5 acres, wooded acres. I stayed 3.5 years. We built this incredible building. We grew to over 100. I mean, it was just, and then I got to come home. But it's like remembering these things. And I know that those of you, especially if you've been in these teachings for any length of time, can remember times when you just knew, wow, this stuff works. But then there were other times when you played, oh, it'll never work. It'll never work. No, to be specific, but to be more in essence. One of my personal ones was wanting a house and feeling, you know, I wanted 2 bedrooms, 2 baths. I had the whole thing. But what I really wanted was someplace that would be my sanctuary. You know, that was the energy that I kept thinking about. When I go home at night, I want to feel that I'm walking into a sanctuary. And this was when I had the ministry in Auburn. And one day I took a ride up Highway 80 to Colfax and stopped for coffee in this little shop. And just mysteriously, isn't this the way it happens? Mysteriously, I'm sitting next to these two guys who are talking about this house they have for rent. My ears go bing. Well, if I had been, I have to have 2 bedrooms, I have to have 2 baths, I would not have gone to look at it. But I thought, I asked, they said, no, it has 1 bedroom and kind of a loft, but only 1 bath. This was on a bluff overlooking the Bear River. It was, you talk about sanctuary down a little dirt road. It was amazing. That's what happens when you let spirit call more of the shots. Say this would, so now I've really learned to work with the idea of my preference or spirit, what I really think I want is, but I'm open and receptive. Being in that spirit, in that place of honoring the one presence, the one power, infinite intelligence, it's beyond our ability to grasp with our minds. The one presence that somehow is connected to everything in the universe, that somehow knows how to bring together all the right people at the right time. Why did I go to that coffee shop rather than the one across the street? Because I was guided. Did I know I was being guided? No, I just parked my car and ran into the coffee shop. But in retrospect, I certainly know I was being guided. So I could be there when those two men were having their coffee and talking about that. It works on big things, and it works on little things. When Mike was talking about circulation day, I love circulation days. But you know, God works in little tiny things too. I once had this really nice corduroy camel-colored suit, and I wanted a rust blouse to go with it. No, and I looked, and I didn't find any. And once I finally found one, it was like $60. And this was in the days when there was no way I was paying $60 for a blouse. But I just kept saying, you know, I know there's a blouse out there somewhere. I'll find it. One day I'm driving along, and I swear my car turned itself. It just went whoosh, right like that, into a garage sale. And I got the absolute perfect blouse for 25 cents. There is no big or small in God. It's all good, right? And all we have to do is remember to use these principles. Because I'm as guilty as everybody else. I cannot believe sometimes how I go off on tangents and totally forget these teachings. Not for long, because I really get kicked real fast. But, you know, just understanding that that presence and that power is there. It's going to work no matter what we're doing, but it can only do for us what it can do through us. We have to be open. We have to hold ourselves centered and in alignment with principle. And the principle is thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. And those thoughts are energy. And that energy radiates out from us. And that energy touches other people. And those people somehow magically, mysteriously appear in the right time, in the right way. God is good. Life is good. You got that, huh? Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. Well, they got it. When is God good?
All the time.
All we have to do is be open to it. That's our job. Our job is to stop being the dictators and start being the receivers. You know, one of my favorite old hymns that we don't sing anymore very often in Unity churches or Religious Science is, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord." But there is something about that song that really touches me. Because it's like, for me, when I say that, I'm not thinking about Jesus particularly or a presence like that. I'm thinking about the higher energy. So I could say, "Have thine own way, higher self," or "higher spirit," whatever. I know that where I am right now, this is all I can see, but there's so much more. There's a new vista. There's a new way. And I just need to move into it, to be still, to be grateful. True prosperity is knowing God as source. True prosperity is knowing God as source and being open, open to receive. I am open and willing and allowing presence and spirit to work in me, as me, through me, and for me. That's a good one, isn't it? I am open and willing and ready to allow spirit to work in me, through me, as me, and for me. And so it is. Amen.